This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Front Row. I'm Lee Chui Lin. At a time when the budget is silent on funding for culture and the performing arts in the country, although 1.2 billion ringgit will be going to the Ministry of Tourism and Culture, the private sector has stepped in to help fund a conference for curators, practitioners, academics, and other experts who research, write, and document the traditional in this part of the world. Pusaka, under this patronage, has organized Katakatha, a four-day event bringing together 10 principal cultural Southeast Asian cultural figures from Indonesia, Thailand, the Philippines, Singapore, and of course, Malaysia. Eden Koo from Pusaka joins me. Hi, Eden.
Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about, you know, the fact that Pusaka initiated this conference. What prompted it? Why now?
Well, actually, it's not a conference. It's a gathering of writers, artists, historians. There is a wonderful architect and urban, what I call an urban geographer from Singapore. So it really is a gathering of minds and creative people to explore the creative process and to look at the at aspects of creative life in Southeast Asia. And the format is quite interesting in that some of the sessions are going to be confined to the participants, the artists and writers, talking to each other. We're going to film that conversation and, you know, come up with a 1 hour documentary or so after that, sometime after the gathering. And then there are public engagements in which the general public can come, and there are individual sessions with the writers and the filmmakers, the visual artists, and a public forum. So it's more a gathering rather than a conference. I've tried to avoid the whole academic approach to this.
And what prompted the idea of discussing the creative process to begin with? I mean, let's gather people from ASEAN. Let's talk about this in particular. What did it stem from something?
Yeah, well, basically it stemmed from a lot from my interaction with lots of the people who engage in creative life in Southeast Asia. And I began to discover that, you know, we have so much in common and contrast, and that we really enjoy each other's company. And, you know, the thought process in Southeast Asia is not very unlike the region itself, geographically and environmentally, in that it's extremely fluid, very eccentric, and incredibly profound. But what I discovered was that lots of us have no occasion to meet on a regular basis and meet widely and expansively and broadly. Not filmmakers meet filmmakers alone and writers meet writers alone, but really for filmmakers to meet, for example, a historian and an architect to move in who is interested in sprawling issues that relate to the region. We have many commonalities in the challenges that we have, in, of course, the history, shared history, and, you know, so many of the cultures have so many similarities. But for now, we find it hard to get together in one place and have a sustained dialogue. We tend to do that in Europe and the United States. You know? Thai and Filipino filmmakers meeting in Rotterdam and places like that, and Malaysians and Indonesians meeting other places. So I thought, you know, we talk so much about the attention of the world moving and veering towards the East, not just the Far East, but Southeast Asia. So I think, you know, we should invest our will and our imagination in actually collecting people together to talk about something as beautiful and inspired as creative life.
Having said that, you have, 10 figures who will be attending the gathering, and there are some representatives from some ASEAN countries who will not be present, you know, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar. Why not?
Well, we thought we'd start off principally with the five founding members of ASEAN before we spread. You know, this initiative is a Maybank Kim Eng initiative supported by the Maybank Foundation. It's conceptualized and curated in collaboration with Pusaka. And of course, the bank is very present in these countries, and they are very involved, I mean, in, you know, things like providing scholarships, and very involved in also kind of cultural, social work in Southeast Asia, in these countries. And this was a way to enhance a greater commitment to that and interaction with that.
So as you say, it's a corporate-sponsored, you know, gathering or event. How important do you think that's becoming, to have a corporate interest or investment in culture?
Corporate funded, as in like, you know, corporate funding, I think, rather than sponsorship, is a far more serious thing because it's corporate investment in culture, which I think is extremely, extremely important. I've always stressed, and we've spoken about this on many occasions, that what is really needed in our life is, you know, cultural and social investment rather than sponsorship and looking at things like intellectual life as forms of charity. And I think this is a very, very crucial and important step, a hallmark, really, by a Malaysian body as extensive and expansive as Maybank, Malaysian and Singaporean body, Maybank Kim Eng, to basically enhance and fortify this kind of commitment and also open the way for this kind of collaboration.
In the past, how have conversations around this idea of corporate investment gone? I mean, as you say, after this, you'll have this event, you'll have this thing, and it will have opened doors. You can point to it and say, look, this is how it can be done. This is, you know, how it can work. But in the past, when you've tried to have these conversations, how have they gone? You know, what are the concerns that people tend to surface?
I think one of the main concerns in the past has been that nobody would really care about such a thing. It's so elevated, or it's so, you know, out of the box. But I think, you know, when the issues that are going to be talked about and, you know, very critical things like, is there a regional imagination? Do we share a history? Do we share common traditions? Especially as we are heading towards ASEAN, greater ASEAN cooperation, I think many of the deeper foundational questions need to be answered. We can't look at our region. We can't look at all aspects of our region, from corporate life to, you know, social life to cultural life to education, in isolation anymore. And there needs to be a foundational conversation about what we mean by greater interaction. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you know, a lot of ASEAN block talk that, you know, lots of people, to be honest, are quite alienated from.
So at so you're going to have people speaking to one another, you know, closed door events, and then there will also be, as you say, public engagements. What will those consist of? What can people participate in?
Well, we have a whole variety of artists and people in creative life. We have writers who write a great variety of things, poets and you know, an architect, Avianti Arman from Indonesia, who's also a beautiful writer and poet. We have Farish, of course, who is regarded as a historian and an academic, but really is really one of the most imaginative intellectuals we have in this region. We have a person like Lai Chi-Kien, who is an architect, but has written a great deal and really helped to shape a kind of understanding of what heritage and history means in buildings, and a very poetic approach to architecture and urban geography and things like that. So, and then we have filmmakers, several very noted filmmakers, Anuchka from Thailand, who's a Cannes winner, Karakan Balintagos from Philippines, who's a Cannes winner, a very powerful filmmaker of indigenous issues from his native Palawan. We have a wonderful assembly of artists, visual artists who work in different mediums. A very young artist by the name of Geraldine Kang, who is in Singapore, really striking and powerful works in photography and installation. A great sculptor from the Philippines, Agnes Arellano. And we have Nadia Bamadaj, who is really one of the most powerful figures, I think, in contemporary Malaysian art. And they're going to be having individual sessions. So people who are interested in art, the visual arts, can attend at a separate session. And concurrently, there'll be sessions for writers and for people interested in film and filmmaking. And then there's a public forum on Sunday, which closes the whole thing before we actually formally close with a poetry reading by two of Southeast Asia's great literary figures, Gunawan Muhammad and Latif Muhyiddin, who will be reading, although they are very good friends and have been for close to 45, 50 years. They will be reading together for the very first time, I think, in 40 years, something like that.
So almost the duration of the friendship.
Almost the duration of the friendship, yes, absolutely.
I'm speaking today with Edin Koo from Pusaka. We are discussing Katakata, Southeast Asian Conversations on Culture and the Arts. Up next, we examine a little bit more about the theme of it, which is shared history, shared culture, shared traditions. You are listening today to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You are listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Edin Koo from Pusaka. We are discussing Katakata, an upcoming, series of conversations and events, focusing on creative life here in Southeast Asia. And we talked about the kinds of things that are going to take place during the 4 days. It's running next weekend. What's going to come out of this after that?
Well, there are quite a few things planned. I mean, for the conversations between the artists and writers and filmmakers, they're going to actually be filmed. And we're going to basically put all of that together in what I hope is a very well-crafted 1 hour documentary. So that we get a sense of, you know, people's preoccupations and interaction, which will then be shown throughout the countries in Southeast Asia and perhaps elsewhere. And it will serve as a very good document, I think, of the first in what I hope is a whole series of conversations. We're going to put that film together with Indrani Kopal, who's one of Malaysia's Cannes winners last year, or earlier this year. We're also going to come up with a publication, basically encapsulates everything that was said. I believe very strongly in the power of allusion every time we speak, and that will really come through, I think, in a publication whereby we can curate what was said and how it was said at a session and put it together, and we'll publish that. And then there's going to be an exhibition, a kind of installation inspired by the conversation series, and with the input later of some of the participants there. Some of them have done some incredible installation work. Avianti Arman, you know, did the Frankfurt Book Fair, where Indonesia was, she did the pavilion in the Indonesian Book Fair in Frankfurt, where Indonesia was the guest nation, principal nation, and it was remarkable. And then, of course, there's so many artists and thinkers there who can help me shape, put together this exhibition, which will be launched or will begin to be seen at the Maybank Gallery towards the end of February, and then to travel to Singapore later in April. So there's quite a lot of after effect. There's also, I must mention, a considerable and important student component here. We're also inviting students from the regional universities to come here to interact with the artists, but also to interact with themselves, and basically to go away to their respective universities and so on, and try and create little katakata cells of discussion, of using more contemporary media like social media to spread the word of the region and their thoughts, and even, you know, occasion things together.
I was going to say, I mean, it might be jumping the gun, but it will be nice to have things like publications and installations if you're going to do it year on year, or even, you know, so on and so forth, because then at least you have documentation of all the different ways the conversation might evolve. I mean, is that something that you're looking into?
Yeah, well, you know, we have actually, Maybank Kim Eng has actually created a platform here. It has its own logo. It has its own name. The logo itself is very fascinating. We worked with Razif Nasruddin, who's a wonderful designer, young designer, and he created the thing from old Southeast Asian scripts. And it has its name, of course, Katakata, which means is a word that is present in almost every single language in Southeast Asia. It means talk, or kata in the original phrase, which means also epic, and so it is. I believe it's going to be a sustained series, and a very important one that can only grow more meaningful. I know that, you know, we have a habit of starting things without ever completing them or seeing them through, but I think this is one of those initiatives that really has viability, and that I believe can really have a place in the minds and hearts of people in the region.
The theme this year is shared history, shared culture, shared culture, shared traditions. And it's interesting because I recently tried to explain Southeast Asia to a family of Americans, and I found it remarkably simple and remarkably complicated to try and explain, you know, where shared history comes from, who met who, you know, 500 years ago and so on. You know, it's an interesting theme. It's also a broad theme. What's your perspective on how we share our culture and how much of it is still shared today and rooted in how we live today?
I think, you know, one of the things that strikes me about the term shared history, shared culture and shared traditions, you know, we are one of the regions that likes themes of this kind without overarching themes, without actually gravitating beneath and looking at what lurks beneath. The commonalities are so intricate and complex. The contrasts and differences are also very, very intricate and complex. We are not a region that has known boundaries in the way that we know them now until very recently. With the coming of colonialism and so on, the movement of people, the diasporic nature of the region, the polyglot nature of the region, and the way we, you know, kind of interweave with one another, I think is one of the most striking things about Southeast Asia, but something that we continue to neglect and as a consequence also forget. So, you know, we have to look at, with conversations like this, to try and look at ways in which we can, you know, inspire the eccentric nature of what we share and also what makes its difference. But Southeast Asia, I really believe, is a very creative region. It has come together in very creative ways. Everything that it shares lies so much in culture and creativity. If you want to unravel the histories of individual communities here, culture is often the best place to look at how complicated and complex those things are, yet also very inspired and imaginative.
The other thing that I think is interesting about being a part of Southeast Asia is that in terms of where it places on our identity ranks, you know, it doesn't come up very high. You know, we don't often think of ourselves as Southeast Asian per se. You know, we think of ourselves as, here in Malaysia especially, I feel like we get bogged down in trying to label ourselves in a certain manner. How do you think conversations like this might change the way we approach our understanding of our cultural identity collectively as a region and, you know, take that home and perhaps ponder on it and how that might affect our national identity?
Yes, well, actually, when I first approached the conceptualization of this gathering, that was the first thing that struck me, the need to break down the categorization of this region and also of, you know, an artist being an artist and a filmmaker being a filmmaker, and then a historian doesn't belong in creative life because they're academics. All these very inane categories that not just we in Southeast Asia, but the whole world has created with, when actually, you know, the people who are coming together here, and a lot of our life, creative life in Southeast Asia, is one of overlaps all the time. I hope that people will be able to, artists themselves, you know, I think it's quite challenging sometimes for people to talk about their work very deeply in relation to the experiences of somebody else. And I hope, you know, even if it's a challenge and it's difficult, those confluences can be found, and I think they can. As for audiences, of course, one, it introduces us to a whole, the whole richness of cultural life in Southeast Asia today. As I said, you know, we know American films better than we know Thai films or Indonesian films. We read, you know, Booker Prize winning authors and neglect, you know, sometimes find it very hard to encounter Gunawan Muhammad, who is, you know, such an incredible voice. And so on the most practical front, it provides us this kind of access and opportunity to interact. But of course, it is the language and the thought processes of those gathered here, which I think are hugely inspired and also nicely abstract and elevated. I think all in all, you know, it's to really present a gathering that is incredibly sophisticated, imaginative, and incredibly dignified in the thought processes, which I think is what this region is all about.
You know, we keep using the word gathering because, of course, you have people physically coming together, having conversations within the same space. And that's an interesting one because nowadays you can have these conversations via email or a WhatsApp chat group. You know, you just gather everybody and that seems to be the way of it. And then hopefully you synthesize that down and then we just receive it later. And that, you know, that seems to be the way that we might be headed. Hopefully not, but, you know. So what are the benefits of having discussions about art and culture in person as opposed to, you know, through missives?
Intimacy, which is also, I think, the great sensibility of Southeast Asian culture. It's a lot about intimacy. It's a lot about eccentricities as well. I think we really underplay our eccentric reactions to things, our, you know, impulsive reaction to things that can only be found in conversation. And of course, nobody can take away the fact that you feel great intensity when you're actually looking at someone, when you talk to them. That human aspect of us, again, which is very much a Southeast Asian kind of disposition and, you know, a cultural curve, is something I think that, you know, this gathering really seeks to enhance as well. Apart from thought process, just the ability to feel each other, I think it's crucial.
So with so much going on, if someone wants to get more information about the event, about the different programs happening, where can they go?
We are creating a whole spate of social media things. I think we have a website, www.katakata.org, if I'm not mistaken. It'll be on Facebook. There'll be tweets and a whole variety of things. You know, I'm not very good with social media, so I you know, this is kind of alien to me. But there is all this activity that's going to be around. But there's a main website there.
And so if you want to Google or Facebook your way towards the events, you can look up Katakata. That's K-A-T-A-K-A-T-H-A, Southeast Asian Conversations on Culture and the Arts. It is happening from the 12th to the 15th of November. That's next week. And by and large, in the Kuash Theatre, is that right?
Yes, that's
yes.
Right.
Pusat Kreatif Tunku Bainun, and admission is free. Thank you, Eden, for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Eden Koo, founder of Pusaka. We've been discussing Katakata, Southeast Asian Conversations on Culture and the Arts. You've been listening to The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.